into the life of these kids, I wonder how many times they sang these songs. Quite a few. And so therefore, that's one way we get the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds. Another way that you do is by telling the stories. In fact, if I were to ask you a question today, what story are you going to tell this week? Todd, tell the story.
I want to tell you a story from a book called The Bible. Wrong one.
Yeah. The one that I had you cut off the start. Hey. About Christmas? Have you thought about what are we going to intentionally share with our kids, with our loved ones, with our family as we get together? And really, we do have that opportunity to share and to tell a story. The reason I chose to kind of introduce this lesson this morning about that is because you have to be intentional in what you're going to do. Many times, things don't just happen. And so one of our daughters said, let's play a game when we get together on Christmas. And so that triggered, and Flora said, well, what game you want to play? I said, our daddy will come up with something. But then what struck me was, let's take a Christmas ball and give every one of the children a Christmas ball and let them read the Christmas story. And then as they read the Christmas story, let them put a Christmas ball on the tree. So what happens? We're going to intentionally take the message, the story, through the lips of parents and children and bring honor to God. Now that's the game plan. Things don't always work out. But that is the game plan. But you got to intentionally do things like this. It's kind of like, if I say a Christmas carol, what does that mean to you? Do y'all remember? Yeah, Scrooge. There you go. Okay. Ebenezer G. You know, a lot of people don't really realize what was behind that story. Sometimes when you hear a story, you really want to say, well, what's going on? Now, remember in this given story, though, many movies and all have been written about it, and plays and Broadway and things like that. But what was behind this guy? This boy, Charles Dickens, when he grew up at the age of 12, he was going to a rat-infested room in London, England, where he would endlessly wrap and tie and paste labels on jars of black polish. He'd walk 5 miles to get to work. He'd work 10 hours. And then he'd walk 5 miles home. He'd only see his family on the weekends when he would go to the debtor's prison and he would get to see his father. And all of his family were in debtor's prison except for one sister. And so when you think about the hard times of this and the different pictures that you would see in that movie, at the end of it, it's going to become bright. But at the beginning of it, the average lifespan of London residents during the 19th century was 27 years old. In 1839, nearly half the funerals in London were held for children under the age of 10. It was not unusual for children 6 to 7 to have full-time jobs and working. And many of them, they were carrying coal, hauling coal to fuel the Industrial Revolution. The moral tone of that period of time was the Victorian tone, but it is said that about 30% of the people never set foot in a church. And then it was also during this period of time in which hanging was the way of punishment. And during his childhood, there were over 220 people who hanged. And how many he saw, we do not know. But at the end of the story, it becomes a happiness because he gets the Christian, he gets the Christmas spirit. But now, what story are you going to tell? Now, that's kind of starting off in a negative, but I want you to think about what story can you tell in just a couple of weeks from now? Can you tell the story of Christmas past? Can you tell the story of Christmas present? And then can you also tell the story of Christmas future? I kind of visualized this morning just to say, why don't we just share that story together? And then if I ask you to tell it, will you be ready? By doing it that way, I know you'll listen more intently because Landon says he's liable to call on me and ask me to tell that story. Right, Landon? I mean, you were just thinking that, right? Did I get the right vibes? Okay, I was just checking if I was on. But if you want to read with me, turn over to Luke chapter 1. Excuse me, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Excuse me. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the purpose behind this, if our children sang for months to prepare for us, we were seeking to capture, they were capturing the essence of that moment and the essence of that meaning about Jesus Christ deep within them. Let us read this story this morning and just have a good time with it. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Are you ready with me? I need you a couple of more months. Excuse me. Here we go. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren now in the sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. How about that? When you begin to capture that, did you hear the things that are happening? Just as we talk about this being Christmas past, as we talk about Christmas past, it speaks about the involvement of God the Father. And what did God the Father do? God the Father was sending the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was there in Christmas past, coming over her. She would have a child, even though she was a virgin, and he would be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, an old woman, probably past the age of bearing children, a kinfolk, she also received a child with her husband. And now these words, and here's the PowerPoint. For with God, for nothing will be impossible with God. Okay, you're talking about Christmas past. What is your power statement? For nothing shall be impossible with God. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? What are some of the characteristics that you found in this part of the story of Christmas past? What did you hear? The birth of a virgin. What else did you hear? If you were to tell this part of the story, if I were to say to you, okay, Donna, stand up and tell this part of the story, what parts would stick out in your mind?
That Mary had faith in God, that what God said was going to happen was going to happen, and that the child she would have was going to be the Son of God.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? So if I were to ask you, Rita, a question, is everything possible with God? Yes, everything is possible. So from Christmas past, we understand this. For with God, everything is... Is there anything in your life that's not possible? If it's true for this girl in Christmas past, it's also true. What about Christmas present? Let's pick up the story. Verse 39. Now at this time Mary rose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city in Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Okay, that was the cousin. Zacharias was a priest, Elizabeth was the old woman, and together they had a child together. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in the womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Can you tell that part of the story now? Christmas present. What I'd like to challenge you to do is, in your bulletin, it's all written down in the scripture, but what are three blessings in this? What are three blessings that you could tell somebody in your household this Christmas or in this Christmas season? What are three blessings that you could tell with somebody? Found in the text. Are you following along with me? What's the first blessing? Blessed are you among women. You got it? Blessed are you. Blessed is the one that's been chosen by the Father. Oh, if I were to ask you a question, have you been chosen by the Father? Maybe not to have a baby, Frank, okay? But have you been chosen by the Father? Can you tell somebody that when you come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you are blessed? And so the first blessing that we see, blessed is the one who's chosen by the Father. You are blessed if God has chosen you to receive a blessing. Folks, if you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are blessed. But the second thing is, the second blessing, let's follow it. And the scripture says, as we reach down, and blessed is the Son of God, Jesus our Lord. You are blessed if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the second blessing. And what's the third blessing? Those who believe, that's the third blessing. So you got three blessings right there. Blessed are you if God has chosen you to share His good news with you. Blessed is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you are blessed if you do what? believe. You see, in this Christmas season, people want to believe. So many people have the Scrooge concept. All these bad things are happening to me. What's good is out there. What we need is to see the ultimate true story that really we are blessed. And because we are blessed, we have this power statement. And the power statement is, blessed is she who believed. I really got to ask yourself the question today. Do you believe? Okay, all right, here's the test. What's the first power principle? Nothing is impossible with God. What is the follow-up to the first principle? The second principle is? If you believe. You see how these two, that's Christmas past, Christmas present, but let's go into Christmas future. And now let's talk to a young girl, to a young lady called Mary. Verse 46. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble estate of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. And he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to the Father, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned home. Can you pick up Christmas future just for a moment right here? Three questions to ask about Christmas future. Who is he in the future? Who did this young little girl say that Jesus was? Who is he? Look in some of those titles. What titles do you see as you read the scripture and really as you study that? What are you seeing right there? Who is he? He's the Son of Man. Give me some more. Son of God. Who is he? He's Savior. Who is he? Mighty One. Who is he? Holy. Did you get that? Who he is out here into the future? He's Lord, he's God, he's Savior, he's the Mighty One. He is holy. When you're talking about some future, look who he is. But then in the future, who is he to you? Yeah. He's my Savior. Who is he? I'm his bondslave. Who are we in the future? We fear him. Who are we in the future? We are his servants. The last character. What is his character in the future? I want you to see some of these things. I know I listed them in the bulletin, and I didn't leave a bunch of blanks right in there in the bulletin because I wanted you to see these things. When you read over there in the scripture, his name is what? Holy. His mercy is upon all generations. He has done mighty deeds. His arm does not weaken. He scatters the proud in their thought. He brings down rulers from their throne. He exalts the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. He sends away self-sufficient and the rich empty-handed. He gives help to Israel. He displays his mercy. He keeps his word. All of this because of what? All of this because of the power principle. And what is the power principle? In remembrance of mercy. Now, put these three things together right there. As you tell the story, If I had asked you to stand up and tell this story, could you speak like this little girl did? This young lady who had Jesus? She was a young lady. I don't know exactly how old. Could you see? Could you be filled with the Holy Spirit when you're telling the Scripture to somebody during this season? Can you tell of the Holy Spirit? And when you're telling this story, can you go back to Christmas past and what's the power statement in Christmas past? Nothing is impossible with God. And then when we come into the Christmas present, what do you understand? Yeah. And then lastly, what is that power statement? All of this is because of the mercy of God. So I ask you this morning, will you intentionally tell the story of the one who all things are possible? Will you intentionally tell the story believing every word that you tell? And will you intentionally tell the story because it's a story of mercy? Mercy from a loving Father. During this season, let's back it up. During this season, let's show mercy. During this season, let's show we believe. During this season, let's know all things are possible with God. How are you going to tell it? Can I introduce you to some young people who tell the story in a little different way? And then I'm going to ask you at the end of this, how could you tell this story?
I want to tell you a story from a book called the Bible. People didn't make up the Bible. It's the word of the Most High God. The Most High God is the only God, and He is more powerful than any ancestor, person, government, or false god that people worship. Because God gave us this story, we can trust that it is true.
The Most High God existed before there was anything else, and He created everything on the earth and in heaven. He has power over everything, and when He began to create, He used just His words. He spoke and everything came into being. He created angels to serve Him and everything we can see, the sky, land, water, sun, moon, stars, and all plants and animals. Finally, He made people in His own image to enjoy everything that He had created. God created everything and it was good.
God placed the first man and woman in a beautiful garden to live. They had a good relationship with Him and with each other. He told them to take care of the garden and to enjoy everything. He also gave them a special command. They could eat from every tree in the garden except one. If they ate from that one tree, they would be punished and die. At first, the woman and the man listened to God and had a wonderful relationship with Him in the garden.
One of the angels God had made was very beautiful, and he became very proud. He wanted to become like God and have the other angels worship him instead of God. Only God deserves all worship and service. So God cast this bad angel, now called Satan, out of heaven. One day, Satan tempted the woman to eat the fruit from the tree that was forbidden. The woman listened to him and ate the fruit and gave it to her husband to eat. They disobeyed God's command and sinned. Sin is anything less than God's best for us. God is righteous and holy, so He must punish sin. He cast the man and woman out of the garden, and their relationship with God was broken. Humans and God were now separated. Like the first man and woman, all people have sinned by not obeying God's commands and are separated from God. The end result of sin is eternal separation from God and hell. We were created to live with God forever, but sin prevents that from happening.
Over time, people on earth multiplied and God loved them very much, so much so that He wanted to have a relationship with them. He gave them 10 commandments to follow, and since God is perfect and holy, we must be perfect and holy to live with Him. The 10 commandments taught people how to live at peace with God and with other people. Some of these commands were to not worship other gods, to not make idols, to honor your parents, to not lie, to not steal, or commit adultery. However, no one was able to obey all of these commands.
People deserve punishment when they sin, but God allowed them to offer a blood sacrifice to take the place of their punishment. This sacrifice was shedding the blood of a perfect animal, like a lamb. If people repented and offered a blood sacrifice, God would forgive them and let the animal die in their place. Without the shedding of blood, a person's sin cannot be forgiven. But people kept on sinning, and the sacrifices became a ritual rather than something done from the heart. God became tired of insincere rituals, and people were still separated from God. No matter what we do, we cannot come back to God on our own.
God loves people and wants a relationship of love and trust with them. So when the time came, he sent people a perfect way to reconnect with him. God sent Jesus to show us a way back to himself. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's son, his one and only son. He became human like us, God in the flesh.
Even though Jesus lived as a man, he resisted temptation. He never sinned and remained obedient to God. Jesus had great compassion for all people. He was a friend to the poor, the outcast, and the hopeless. He was a wise teacher and performed many miracles proving that he was God's son. Jesus had power over nature, disease, evil spirits, and even over death.
Many people loved Jesus. They believed and followed him. However, some leaders hated Jesus and were jealous of him. They made plans to kill Jesus. Jesus willingly allowed himself to be arrested, tried, and condemned to death. Soldiers placed him on a cross. A cross is made of two large pieces of wood formed together. They took his hands and feet and nailed them to the cross. Jesus suffered and died a painful death.
Jesus' death demonstrated God's love for us, but this story doesn't end here. After Jesus died, he was placed in a secure tomb. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and showed himself to his followers, proving his power over death. Then, he returned to his Father in heaven. Jesus took our punishment and now provides a way for us to come back to God.
God wants you and your whole family to turn to him and follow him. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, and he's the only way to restore our relationship with God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You must go through Jesus to return to God. So how can you go through Jesus? You must admit to God that you have sinned against him and believe that Jesus died in your place. Put your trust in Jesus to forgive you and give you eternal life as God's child. From that point on, follow Jesus as your master and obey his words. Do you want to let Jesus forgive you so that you can follow him?
Jesus continues his work in the world through his Spirit and his followers. God has set a day for Jesus to return to earth in all his glory and to judge all people. He will welcome his followers and turn away those who oppose him. And his kingdom will have no end. Until then, his followers are to carry the good news of Jesus to others and serve him in all that we do, working together in God's kingdom.
So what are we to do with this? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, let us be intentional in what we do in this season. Help us to tell the story, if it's to one, if it's to two, if it's to 10, if it's to 25. Help us during this season to be intentional and tell the story. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment, we will sing a song. It's an old song. For those who are in a GAs, you will know this. For those who are not in GAs, it may be the second time you've heard it. But it's called "We Have a Story to Tell." And what I'd like for you to do during this singing of this hymn is to do two things. Number one is to commit to have a what is being said today, have a spiritual conversation with somebody about the story. Did you hear all these different kids up here? They all told the story, but they told it just a little bit different. But it was all a part of the same story. You can tell the story through the Holy Spirit guiding through you. Let's tell the story. I'd like for you, while we sing this song, to commit to tell the story. Secondly, if you've heard the story and you've received the Savior, Jesus Christ, and you want to celebrate, we'd like to celebrate with you. I'd just like for you to come up and tell me, Robert, I've received Christ. Or if you're searching and you need help, I'd be glad to sit down with you and share the scripture with you in your search for receiving Christ. I'm going to be standing down front. You're going to be standing where you are. Prayer altar's open. There's needs in your heart that you'd like to share with Him. But most important, remember, right now, even start thinking about who can I tell this story to? Christmas past is what? With God, all things are possible. Christmas present, we believe. Christmas future, it's all about His mercy. Let's stand together and sing.